We're in a series right now called Divine Appointments, and we have been looking at Luke and the Gospel of Luke, not going through every story, but really doing stories as we began back in February on identity. And we talked all through this last year through looking at the book of Luke. What does it mean when we talk about who am I? In Christ, who are you? And when you come to know what that means, it has a way of anchoring you in life when you understand that you are a son and daughter of the King and the love that he's expressed for you through Jesus Christ, which we took here in communion. But one of the things that's really exciting about that is there are not only these general characteristics, there is also this sense that we have a unique identity in Christ. And when we begin to understand that unique, both general identity, that we have a calling that we're all called to, but we all uniquely need to and get the opportunity to show up in life with the people around us in a way that God is in us and through us, where we can receive encouragement and strength from others, but we also get to be able to give that to others. And so we've been talking about that, and today we're going to look at Luke 11 in a moment. But as we talk about what we're called to, we've been looking at these general truths about who we are called to be. And we looked at this idea of an apostle, and we said, yes, there's 12 apostles, and then there's another category. But in a real sense, the word apostle means sent one, and we're all sent ones in our lives and where we go throughout each day. We also then looked at the fact that not only are we apostles, but we are ambassadors bringing the kingdom and the good news, the reality of God's love and what it means to walk in that love. And then went from that one to what we talked about as apprentices when Peter shared that, about that we are apprentices in community and that makes a difference as we reveal the kingdom of God together as people. Last week, Luke shared as well and talked about the fact that we're an advanced team. He looked at the advanced team of 70 that went out, that Jesus sent out, and in the same way as they prepared for the message of the gospel, we are like an advanced team. We may just be one link on the chain of someone's process towards a relationship with Jesus Christ. And I just want to stop and say, I am so grateful for the teaching team we have with Peter and with Luke and Becca. I just, like these last few weeks, I sat there and just said, man, this is powerful. And I'm so grateful for them and so grateful for that fact that God has used them in this body. Today, you know, we've been talking about all these letter A's. Well, we're really going to get off the A kick for some reason. And it wasn't really planned, but anyway, today we're going to talk about intercessors. Part of our call is this fact that we're to be intercessors. And intercessors basically intercede on behalf of others. They pray on behalf of someone else. And sometimes you may not even know that someone else you could be praying for when you're prompted to pray. And in that whole sense of intercessors, we are people who intercede, standing in the gap between God and the work he wants to do and the person that we may be praying for. And we may be praying for God to help them in their situation. We may be praying for God's protection. We may be praying for God's guidance. We may be praying for God's provision. And in some way, God prepares us through intercession to help people experience divine appointments. Mm-hmm. Those times when God just connects to time and place and everything in such a way that the heart that is crying out experiences an answer. I was looking at this, and these are real things, but I generalized them as scenarios that you just get kind of an idea of what this looks like. A woman, while shopping, feels a persistent need to pray for a cashier she doesn't know. And so as she goes to the line, despite her initial hesitation, which we all feel like, you know, really, they feel this, I'm supposed to offer the simple word and encouragement, and she did do that. She gave an encouraging word and then said, could I pray for you? No one else was around at that moment, and that person said yes, and they did. Very short little prayer, and it turns out the cashier was facing a crisis point in their life, and she went on later to tell others that this unexpected act of kindness and a prayer was the turning point, which prevented her from giving up. And the intercessor was placed in the right place at the right time in response to her prayer because she was willing to intercede and to do what God called her to do. Another scenario, man is driving home and decides against his usual routine and he decides to take a different route. Could have been like a wrong turn because you get home faster the other way. But he encounters someone whose car is broken down in this remote area on this other path home. He stops to help, and during the interaction discovers that the person has more going on in his life than just a broken car. There is extreme brokenness within his family and some other things. And that person stopped not only to help him in that moment, but also in a much greater way that God used him. And his divine guidance prompted him through his own general prayer to help someone out that day. Another one is a missionary family needs a large, specific amount of money for a project. They've been praying about it. Somehow a person in another country, completely unaware of the specific need, feels led in prayer to pray for that family, and then also has a sense that they're supposed to give a certain amount of money. They give that certain amount of money, and they find out later that amount of money was exactly what that family needed in that ministry situation. And it was all about God's timing and his divine appointment in response to that family's cry for help. God uses, this is what's really important about this. This is not about pastors and some people who are employed by the church. God uses ordinary people as vessels of his intercession as we stand in the gap for the needs of someone else. That's what we're going to talk about today. We're all called to be intercessors. And you say, intercessors, what does that mean? It just means to talk to God on behalf of someone else. And some of you might be saying, yeah, I know someone who has the gift of intercession. They pray all the time. And what I want to share with you is, yes, there are people that have what I would call spiritual gifts of intercession. In the same way that people have spiritual gifts of evangelism, where they have this easy, just unique way of being able to share Jesus and his importance and who he is in another person's life. Just as a person may have the spiritual gift of giving financially, they're able to give without any sense of hesitation. Or some who have the gift of what I call serving, they just show up and they just love to be behind the scenes and serve. But you know, each one of them, they may have that spiritual gift. We're all called to do those things. And I talk to people when I talk about spiritual gifts, we so often get the idea that we have one spiritual gift. Everyone does have one spiritual gift, everybody here. Some of us have two, three, four, and more. But here's the reality. There's usually one or two that we use in a regular fashion. But what I help people understand, instead of thinking that you're walking around with one or two spiritual gifts, see yourselves more as a plumber who comes with a briefcase of tools, or like a doctor. Remember, you go to a person's home, you see the black box of doctored care. They may be really good. Let's say this plumber had a couple of those tools, but they have all the other tools in that box when it's necessary, when it's appropriate to be able to use that for that moment. And you all carry a bag of gifts. And God may call on you as you are interceding to use a gift that maybe isn't one that you're used to or is your go-to gift. And even intercession is something God calls all of us to do. It's in the box of gifts. So what I want to talk about is this idea of intercessors. And intercessing is merely talking to God on behalf of others. What it means is that you are one who is going to conversationally pray to God the Father. You'll be talking throughout the day to Jesus. In fact, it says in 1 Timothy chapter 5, I think it's 16 through 18, he says, be joyful always, pray, what? Continually. And in everything give thanks. It's just kind of these kind of always kind of things. Continually, you go, how do I pray continually? You can't do that. I'm not going to close my eyes when I'm driving the car. You don't have to close your eyes, first of all. You can actually pray with your eyes open. Sometimes it's very meaningful to, around a dinner table, instead of closing your eyes, just look at each other and just pray, as if Jesus is seated there looking at us too. But it is this idea that you're praying and you're talking to Jesus throughout the day. And when we look at this passage of Scripture in Luke chapter 1, that's exactly what you see happening. Jesus establishes who God the Father is and who we are in relationship to him. Look at verse 1. It says, I'll get back to the right part of my notes. Verse 1. He says, once Jesus was in a certain place praying, and as he finished, One of his disciples came to him and said, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples to pray. What I love about that verse is this simple idea that his disciples are watching Jesus live his life. They have seen him throughout his day as he will be in conversation with his Father in heaven. He had that ability. But he would also take time where he would just pray and say, God, who is it that you have in my life? What is it that you need to do in my life? And he would take those times, and they noticed and they watched, and they said, something significant is happening when Jesus does that. So one of the very first things that you see of this idea in verse 1, that Jesus was conversationally in prayer with his Father, is this idea that those who are watching desired to pray. There has to develop within you, one, a desire, I want that, and a belief that it's important. And so that's what you see in this passage of Scripture in Luke chapter 11, verse 1. Jesus wasn't just doing some kind of rote prayers. They weren't some kind of just ritualistic things. And I'm not saying those kind of things are bad. They can help center and help your heart get in tune with God. But I believe Jesus was pouring out his heart to the Father, and they saw that, and they said, I want to learn how to do that as well. And not only did he do this on occasions as he would walk through life, he did it in times where he would just set aside time. If you look at Luke's gospel, you'll see there's no other gospel where there is this account of Jesus spending time with his Father in prayer. If you see it, you'll see it, and I've got those verses listed up here. Luke 4, there's just a bunch of them. And it goes through. And so they were watching his life and began to hunger. And I love this idea of this verse. They were seeing that prayer was central to something that was happening in his life. Not only as he get away, but also as he walked on a day-to-day basis. And so they finally said, teach us to do that. In my own experience in prayer, one of the first times I realized the significance of it was when I was a little kid. Things happen in worship services in different places in kids' hearts that you may not realize. You think it's all going over their head. But in my situation, Wednesday nights was prayer night, and my parents brought me to prayer night, and I'd have to sit and I'd color. I'd do something next to them. But you know what was amazing? As I probably tuned out on most of it, but once in a while, something grabbed my heart as a person was praying. And I believe it was the Spirit of God. And I think it was also the authentic prayer of that heart that was bringing it to God. And that was my first exposure to it. And then I began to say, you know, I love action. I'm an activator. It's like one of my strength finders. I just like, let's get going, let's do it. For me to begin to learn how to slow down, to sit down, and to take time, and to pray, and then also to do that with others was not easy to do. But I began to realize, as I would be in times where people would be praying, even in that time, in my early faith, I didn't like to pray out loud. But in that environment, I learned to pray by just listening to others. And so I want to encourage you, when you think about like this Tuesday night, we say from 6 to 6, 7. The kids should have been here. Some of you adults are going, what? From 6, 7, we pray. And we just gather around. And as we do that, you may come and go, I'm not going to say a word. That's fine. You begin to learn to do things by watching others who maybe are more accomplished in it do it. And if you in any way, I just encourage you, sense God saying, I want you to develop in your prayer life, yet desire's growing, I invite you to come to that and don't even worry about praying. Just come for that hour and let God work in your heart. Quietly, silently pray and bring those things to God. Now, here's two things in this prayer. They say, teach us to pray. Now, here's two components to this chapter that I think is really interesting. He says, okay, I'm going to teach you this prayer, which is a model prayer. And we all know it. You know, you've heard this before. Our Father who art in heaven. And Luke has just a shorter rendition of it. And in teaching that, the very thing he's teaching about is the first thing that has to happen when you pray is it's a moment to align yourself with reality so you can live in the present. That's what I call this Lord's Prayer. You align yourself with God so you can begin to live out in the presence with confidence and peace in your life. And then he goes in and he says, let me tell you a story. Once you talk about alignment, the next thing he wants you to begin to understand is that you are also then called to ask for. You're called to intercede for others. And he gives this story. And so one is about getting our alignment, our identity, right, who you are, and then moving into this place of what you're called to do, this intercession, which is involved with this story. So I'm going to get going on that, and I just want to share with you. I could speak a long time on just the alignment part of it. But what I want you to note in verses 2 through 4 is that Jesus says this is how you should pray, and then he gives us. And this is what how it's written in Luke. Father, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. Give us each day the food we need, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And don't lead us yet into temptation. Don't let us yield to temptation. I love the Message Bible. I love how authentically real it is, and it just gets right to the point. Listen to how he says it in the Message. So he said, when you pray, say, Father, reveal who you are. Set the world right. Keep us alive with 3 square meals. Keep us forgiven with you and forgiving others. And keep us safe from ourselves and the devil. And the first part is all about our approach. Jesus makes 3 statements, and those statements are statements, again, of reality of who you are, your identity. And he says the first thing is the word Father, and in the Aramaic, it's the word Abba, which is the word that you would use for a little child that's learning to speak for the first time when they look at you and they go, Dada. He says that's your approach to your Father in heaven. If you could just become like a child and begin to realize that when you come to God, you don't need some kind of flowery prayer. You just need a prayer from your heart, like a little kid who's calling out to God and saying, Dad, I just would like to talk to you about a couple things. And here's a few things he says that helps you understand what's really going on. Hallowed, make your name holy, which really means let everybody see who you really are. You are the God who not only exists in the highest, furthest part in the heavens, you are the God who lives and walks with me day by day. So today, Dad, as I walk, I'm going to live in this way that you are the greatest, strongest dad in the world, and you're also the dad who walks hand in hand with me. And then the next thing he says here is set the world right. May your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This idea that, you know, God, just the way the angels respond to you and they're completely obedient and they fulfill your will and that your kingdom is so fully present, would you begin to drop down that same kingdom here? And may I be one who also is so responsive to the word and to the heart of Jesus that I would live in such a way that your will can begin to flow through me. And everywhere I step, in my home, with my family, when I go to work, if I go to school, wherever I go, I would ask that you would reveal yourself through me and that your kingdom's will would come. And I would be that kind of ambassador being sent out in your name. And as I do that, would you open my eyes as I would intercede and pray for someone else? And from those 3 statements, he moves to these 3 requests. Because they help you live in the present. Because the first one is all about provision. Would you give us what we need to eat each day? You know, manna was given in the Old Testament, and they weren't supposed to keep it for the next day. They were to actually live that day in total dependence on God. Basically, would you keep me just fully dependent on you? Because I know that you will provide like a good father. Dad, would you do that? And Dad, as I live this life, I want to live in the present. So I don't want to be in any way hindered by the things in my past. So would you teach me, just like you have forgiven me, and I know I'm going to blow it in the next few hours, but I know that I live in this life relationship when I understand that, I see it, that all I need to do is ask for forgiveness because I know that on the cross, Jesus has forgiven me, not only in the past and the present, but also in the future. I'm going to live in that forgiveness, but I want to be one who bestows that forgiveness on other people. I want to live in the present. I want to be in right relationship. And then the last thing he says is just would you begin to lead us and guide us? Because if you're like me, and I know I am. That's a Mike Brinkman little joke. He does it all the time. If you're like me, you will probably be tempted to become angry while you're driving. You may be tempted to be impatient when you're waiting for something. I'm just giving you a couple of my big ones. Anyway, you will probably sin. And he basically says, in the present moment, God, would you help me to walk with you in such a way that I'm living out my identity in you and I'm beginning to express that so fully. And then I'm asking you, would you help me now with my call, that what you call me to do throughout my days of my life, one of the things I will do as an apostle who is sent out as an ambassador to the world in order to be an apprentice in a group of apprentices like you together, so that we can also be an advanced team in the lives of other people, we would also be intercessors who would be standing in the gap for people who need you. And Jesus says, so let me tell you a story. If you're aligned so you can live in the present, in this moment, let me share with you a story of what prayer is going to look like if you're going to be a person who intercedes for others. Because what is interesting about this passage of Scripture is after Jesus gives the model prayer, he then moves into this kind of prayer of, it's really about others. It's about three things. He talks about perseverance, he talks about sacrifice, he talks about God being good. Those are the three things that we're going to look at in just a moment. But in this passage of Scripture, Jesus doesn't end at the proper alignment. He also says, I've called you to be intercessors. That's part of your call in the general sense. And he tells a story about someone helping another in need, which we're all called to do. That's part of what we're called to do. Prayer is about intercession for others. That's our call. Luke 5:11-5-8. Listen to this. Then teaching them more about prayer, he used this story. Suppose you went to a friend's house at midnight wanting to borrow 3 loaves of bread. And you say to him, here's why I'm here. There's someone who needs it. You're standing in the gap between this guy and the person who needs it. He says, you say to him, a friend of mine has just arrived for a visit and I have nothing for him to eat. And suppose he calls out from his bedroom, don't bother me. The door's locked for the night and my family and I are all in bed. I can't help you. There'd be a lot of work, a lot of sacrifice to go and get some loaves of bread. So, you know, no. And then Jesus says, but I tell you this, though he won't do it for your friendship's sake, if you just keep knocking long enough, he will get up and give you whatever you need because of your shameless persistence. So here are three characteristics that I want you to understand around what this divine appointment looks like. There's the first one is persistence. It's a sense of perseverance. This is not a one-and-done prayer. You don't pray this once. But if you really want to be a person who's an intercessor, who begins to stand in the gap that really helps someone, if you want to be used by God in that way, this is not something that you just pray once. It's something that becomes a part of your life. It becomes a posture so that you have the eyes to see like Jesus would see people around you. Now, this is one of the hardest things for me to do, folks. I am so often self-absorbed, so into what I want, that this is one of those things that actually has to be broken. I have to almost be broken for it to enter fully into my life. So last year in October, David MacIver came and he shared this talk about looking for the one. And I was so moved by that I got a group of people together and said, what if we just did this for a period of time, maybe for 6 months, and we did it. And I've been doing it now for a year. I do it every morning. Every morning I pray this simple prayer. I have a number of prayers, but the very last one I end with is, Father, today, would you give me the eyes? Would you help me? I want to look for the one who is lost, lonely, and broken. That's what I use. You can use lost in searching, or is someone who is alone and needs you, or someone who is broken and needs help, or needs to be expressed a kind word, or whatever it is. But it's just daily I pray that, and it's beginning to shape my eyes. It's beginning to posture my heart to begin to start looking for those needs around me. Now, some of you do this really well, okay? So some of you are just great at it. But I believe there's probably a few others that are like me. And if you really want to see God work through your identity into your call, one of the things I encourage you to do is to intercede like that. And this, so the first thing is a commitment to persistence. And that is just this idea that repetition builds habits, and that kind of persistence habit begins to build character. And then as a result of that character, you become the kind of person who has a posture that sees the opportunities ahead of them. Does that make sense? Okay, here's the second thing that the question I ask you is, will you commit to persist in praying for divine appointments? Would you be willing to say, God, I'm going to begin to persevere in this prayer on a regular basis? Second thing is this, there's a willingness to sacrifice. And by this, I mean there's a few things. One is your schedule. You need to be willing to be interrupted. Not something, again, that I really like doing. I have my course set out, and boy, you know, I'm like a horse with blinders on. And I'm going, God, you got to take my blinders off. And he goes, Kevin, you got to be willing to be interrupted. What's interesting is that you're not going to have divine appointment. You don't set the appointment. Divine means God does. And it's not always when it's convenient. Because if you're coming to God like I would like to come to God, and I say, you know, God, today from 8 to 9 a.m. and about 4:35, I'm okay. Send someone. But it has to be about 10 minutes long. It doesn't work like that. If you're willing to pray this prayer, then you need to be willing to be interrupted, possibly at midnight. There's a good chance if you pray this that God is going to mess with your schedule. In your finances, you need to be willing to invest. Often a divine appointment will not only cost time and cause interruption, it will actually cost cash and investment. The guy had to give away 3 loaves of bread. And the second question is, are you willing to be interrupted, to invest, to sacrifice? And there's another thing that you need to begin to understand, and that's a confidence in God's goodness. As Jesus ends the story, he ends it this way: yet because a man's shameless persistence, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. Now, to correct the idea, because the guy who's up there in the bedroom is supposed to be like God in that sense, and Jesus goes, you know what, God is not anything like that guy who doesn't want to be bothered and interrupted. Jesus wants us to know the guy upstairs is nothing like that. God is not hard-hearted, he is not mean, and he is not selfish. We're the ones that are like that. And you can be confident. Here it is, this confidence in God's goodness. You can be confident that even in delays, as you wait for an answer, God is entirely 100% good. Luke 9:11-13, and so I tell you, keep on asking, and you will receive what you ask for. Keep seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, everyone who seeks finds, and everyone who knocks, the door will be open. Sometimes God, if you're in this position, you've been praying, sometimes God has you doing that, because in the process of that, he purifies your heart's desires. Because then you begin to say, like he says say here, he says, you fathers, dads here, if your children ask for a fish, you're going to give them a snake instead. If your children ask for an egg, do you give them a scorpion? Come on, dads, you're not going to do that. I hope not. He says, of course not. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give? And here's the coolest thing, the Holy Spirit. How much more will he give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? The gift God gives is the Holy Spirit, and this is what it looks like. As you pray for divine appointments, the gift of all gifts is the ability to see the Holy Spirit at work in someone else's life and in your own. And that is like the most incredible experience, is to sit back and to see God touch someone's heart because you were available and you were interceding. You were living the life of an intercessor, saying, God, I want to stand in the gap for the needs of people. And then you see that and you are touched by how God has touched them. And the gift that he says you're going to get is what Jesus says here, is the Holy Spirit. In your life and in the life of someone else, you will see God at work. He gives the gift of himself. Now, I'm going to take a moment to conclude with a story that is really tender right now in our community. And it's a story of, his name is Weston, and he had been diagnosed last January. He's in the Orono community, so some of you know, especially the hockey community. He was diagnosed with leukemia, and it's Weston Paskiewicz is his name, Paskiewicz. And his updates have been on Caring Bridge, and last Wednesday on October 29th, his mother wrote this, and I want to share this with you because I want you, first of all, if you want to check his Caring Bridge site, or if you want to do GoFundMe and God leads you to pray for him, please do. This is someone, and there's so many in our community around us, but She writes, "It has been extremely busy and an emotional last couple of days. We began yesterday knowing the team was doing their best to get us home and to get us set up with all the supplies, medications, and feeds we needed. And they asked Weston if he wanted to go home or wait one more day, and it didn't take him long to say he wanted to get out of there. And they decided to give him a round of platelets and finish off all his medications for the day, which meant he would be home early evening. He did have a couple of things on his to-do list to accomplish before he left. One was at 1, he wanted to finish his regular trivia game. And at 2 p.m., he had a call that all he knew about it was this place called Make-A-Wish Foundation. So he griped a little bit when the meeting for the Wish Foundation started a couple of minutes late, but Dad assured him that this is normal for video meetings. His face absolutely lit up when Marc-Andre Fleury, the former Wild goalie and Weston's favorite, his face showed up on the screen. And they chatted for a few minutes. And Fleury filled him in on the plans for that day that he was going to have for Make-A-Wish Foundation. And Fleury is known as a prankster throughout the NHL, so he told Weston that he was going to grab him and they would pull a prank on Fleury's favorite target, Sidney Crosby, one of the best players ever to play the game and Fleury's former teammate in Pittsburgh. And one of the things for his Make-A-Wish day is that he will get to go on a morning skate with the Wild and then skate the flag out to the center ice for the game. So many things happened, she said today, and it might be hard to mention all of them, but we'll try. First, we are completely overwhelmed by the send-off being planned for Weston as he heads to St. Paul for that Make-A-Wish day. We can't believe how many people will make a point to see him off. Secondly, we are so blessed to have wonderful neighbors. One couple spent a good part of the morning and early afternoon cleaning up leaves in our yard. One thing that Weston was pretty sad about a couple of months ago was missing out on the hockey season and not getting a new jersey for the year, and his dad was kicking himself for not requesting one to be made for him. Well, tonight, someone from our hockey family had a package for Weston. Amazingly, they had ordered the home away jerseys for Weston that you receive now that you're at the squirt level. It never ceases to amaze us how our community continues to think about and include Weston in everything that is happening with groups we would be a part of. These last couple of days have taken us to opposite ends of the emotional spectrum, and right now we are feeling all the positive love and support from so many around us. It's what really truly keeps our heads above water. And at this moment, all we're concentrating on is giving Weston the most amazing Make-A-Wish day possible, as he deserves nothing but the best. We know tomorrow will be filled with a lot of updates, so we'll leave it off here with a thank you to everyone around us. You are all truly amazing and generous, and we couldn't do this without you. We love each and every one of you and can say that Weston feels all the love and support being sent his way. Sleep tight, Weston. You have a busy day tomorrow with the big leagues. We love you so much." I was so hit by so many things in this. One of them was that someone thought of a Make-A-Wish Foundation that does stuff like that. And I read today or yesterday the whole day for him. It was amazing. And I thought, how cool. And then I thought, someone thought of a community that would do this kind of stuff always and forever. And his name was Jesus. And you are part of that community. That's what you've been called to do. You have been called to be sent out as ambassadors for the King, to not make wishes, but to make lives for people that God intends for you to meet. And I just go, that is so cool. We get to be that community. You get to touch people's lives, not just now, but into eternity. And I was so moved by this. That I just thought, I actually wrestled with whether to share it because it seemed so tender. But I just felt like God said, you know what? This isn't just unique here. It may be a child at a really difficult place, but there are people around us. You may be one of those today. And I just want you to know that God loves you. And that He is with you. I'm going to ask you to stand. Folks, what if we fully bought into what we have called our renewed vision that we adopted last February, which says, empowered by the Spirit, Westgate is called to be a gateway of hope, building authentic community in the church and sharing that community throughout the Twin Cities through, and I'll add this part, through practical expressions of love, bringing the kingdom of God near through what you both do and what you say as the Spirit leads you. If you would like prayer after the service, there will be people who would love to pray for you. I'm going to ask you to consider these action steps. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer. And these are the two things that if you just think about it. Maybe this Tuesday you're saying, I need to come 6 to 7 p.m. to be a part of this monthly day of prayer. I want to learn to pray. Or maybe you will make a commitment. Would you just do it for this week before you get out of bed? Maybe stop and say, Jesus, today I will look for someone in need that I can help. Father, I don't know how you're speaking to each individual here, but we do know that God, we get to be this kind of community. We get to be a community that you started 2,000 years ago that is to live in every community and be people who are not going around condemning, but people who go around giving the good news of Jesus Christ in the in living lives where they love and they share, and they may sometimes just have to speak truth in situations, but it's always done out of love. God, we want to be that kind of community that is kind and loving and encouraging, and we want to be the kind of community that doesn't just make wishes come true, but make lives that are now touched for eternity. Would you do that through us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Thanks.